Hello. Hi, good morning. I'm Kenny. If you could turn to page 166 of the Journey devotional book, or you can, if you have your Bible with you, can turn to Luke 18, verse 35 to 30, 35 to Verse 35 to nine, chapter 19 to 10, verse 10. But let's pray first. Father God, such a privilege to come to your house this morning where we can gather to seek your face, God. I pray for this time that you would touch us, God, that we would be transformed, that we would be refreshed, have new life, and just give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is doing today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read the verse. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, praised God. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner?" Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Lord, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay them back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." I'm going to read the devotional portion. Jesus' days were seemingly filled with chance encounters and interruptions. People interrupted him as he taught, preached, healed, traveled, and tried to rest. He met people while he was on the way somewhere else or simply passing through a place, as in today's passage, which begins with Jesus passing through Jericho. He didn't have an appointment with Zacchaeus. This was another interruption on his way to Jerusalem to literally save the world. Or was it? Maybe it wasn't a chance encounter or an interruption. Maybe it was, as Jesus said, the reason he had come, to seek and to save the lost. Saving the world is not an abstract mission, but rather a healing and helping of named individuals whom we meet along the way. Perhaps like Jesus, our life work is often carried out through our daily divine appointments and interruptions. Perhaps all the interruptions are, in fact, answers to our prayer that God would use us, even us, in his work today. In our passage, there is a focus on today. I must stay at your house today. Today, salvation has come to this house. What divine appointments or interruptions might God have for you and me today? So, as the devotional states, the two stories that were mentioned were stories from Jericho. And as he pointed out, if you look at actually just not these two stories, but all of Jesus' stories, from the roadside beggar that was mentioned, the story of Zacchaeus, and just some feeding of the 5,000, where, you know, he multiplied the fish, the bread, or, you know, seeing that woman at the well where he basically tells her about eternal life. You know, these might seem like just encounters or interruptions in Jesus' life. But if you notice, these weren't, I guess, what we would be accustomed to, especially in an organizational and a church context, as, you know, ministry times. You know, Jesus, when he went through, it wasn't like he said, okay, it's time for local outreach time, so I'm going to go look for this roadside beggar. You know, he's not saying, okay, it's the well time. It's healing time, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to go heal people now. Or, you know, he's not saying it's, you know, evangelism, missions time. Now I'm going to go tell people about Jesus, right? And John Piper, he shares, missions exist because worship doesn't. If we're really just worshiping God and believing, these things that we have, these ministries or missions that we have, would just flow out naturally. So I don't want to give the misconception that, oh, because we have ministries at church, this is like a bad thing because we're not, you know, loving God, or we're not really doing a job. We're really just compartmentalized. That's not what I'm saying. But the problem is when those are the only times we do it, right? So really, those, like having ministries at church, the well, having local outreach, those are more opportunities to partake in God's work. The problem is when that's it, right? So, you know, we talk about more of the extreme case of just the Sunday Christian. So you go to church on Sunday, and then come Monday, and gradually, as the week progresses, you kind of lose it as a Christian. You lose your temper, you lose your good attitude. So that's like the really contrasting example of really compartmentalized. But even then, like if you're limiting yourself to only doing local outreach during local outreach time, or you're limiting, you know, worshiping God just on Sunday, or you're only praying for people, giving prophetic words, you're only praying for healing for people only in the church context, then you've already, even if you're like a good, faithful Christian, you've already compartmentalized your life. And it'd be ridiculous if, like, you know, our ministry leaders, like, for instance, IP, they only prayed during IP, right? And I know for a fact that's not the case, because I'm Accountability Brothers with Matt. And he's praying all the time. He's praying the whole week, continuously praying. And then come that one week when they meet together, you know, it's just a overflow of that relationship. I mean, same with our worship leaders, right? I mean, I hear Pastor Nate say this all the time, which is we can't just worship God on Sunday. It has to be come Sunday, especially as worship leaders, it's an overflow of that worship that you're having in your life. And we always say, if you can't give something that you don't have, right? Especially as a worship leader, you're trying to lead people in the worship. If you don't have a lifestyle of worship, how can you usher in the worship? How can you lead people into worship? So those are just some examples of compartmentalizing. But you notice Jesus, I don't think he has any compartment, right? At that time, there was no any sort of ministries that he formed so that people could partake, right? He was just going about life. So the question, I guess, or the difficult thing is, how do you not compartmentalize? Is it just a choice, like starting now, okay, I know the compartmentalizing is not good. Starting now, I'm not going to do it. Is that what it takes? Is it a volitional choice? I mean, you might ask Jesus, oh God, like, how do I balance these things so I don't compartmentalize, you know, balance it with work and church? How do I balance my time with family and ministry and work and vacation, you know, et cetera, et cetera? So they were asking these same questions to Jesus. You know, how can I have Sabbath on one hand and do healing on the other? So Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. This is John 5:19. So that's it. I'm going to just say that verse again. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So just three things. I know it seems like a lot for morning prayer, but they're really simple. So just three things to do what Jesus answered. So number one is we need to humble ourselves. So Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. So we need to humble ourselves and know and have the revelation that is not by our own strength. If you notice, most of the times when we really compartmentalize, and I'm not even talking about like major things, even little things, right? Like whether it be, I guess for most of us, it would be work or with our finances. And it is usually in those times where we think, I have to do it by my own strength, right? This isn't something that, or, you know, problems with family or relationship. Those aren't things that God can resolve or where I can trust God with. Those are things that I need to take care of myself, right? And that's when this is mine. This is my responsibility. That's God's responsibility. So we need to realize that we can't do anything by ourselves, not with our own strength, that God is the one who will enable us. So that's simple. Number one, we got to humble ourselves. Number two is we need to listen. So as the verse talks about, he can do only what he sees his Father doing. So, I mean, we say listen, but it's also seeing. But to see, we have to have a heart open to listen, to let God speak to us, to give God that opportunity. I mean, if we don't know what the directive is or we don't see God at work, we will have no idea what to do. So simple. Number two, we need to listen. And number three is radical obedience, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Yeah. I mean, if you take EG, obedience is perhaps one of the harder parts. Right, sometimes we're tired, sometimes we hear from God, and then we still pray about it. We hear from God, we gotta lay fleeces. So I say we hear, and then we obey. That's it. So those are the three things. We need to humble ourselves first, then we need to listen, and then we need to obey, or radical obedience. And what happens when we do that? What happens when we complete those things? So in verse 20 of John 5, it says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. So what happens is, simply, you get to experience God, right? We're talking about, we have that head knowledge, right, that of what God can do, of the incredible things God does and provides for you, takes care of you, uses you. And when you obey, you experience it, and it becomes our heart knowledge. And A lot of people always ask, they've been asking me, hey, so what is this Bloom trip? Or like, what is this Cambodia trip? What do you guys do? Right? It's actually a really hard question for me to answer because, I mean, I love the trip, but I mean, other than really doing some devotional time in the morning and other than doing some like one workshop maybe in the afternoon, really all we're doing is we're just as a group corporately in unity, we're just praying, listening, and obeying. That's it. That's pretty much all we're doing the whole time. We're just praying, we're seeking God's voice, and then we hear, and then we just do it. And it's this incredible atmosphere because everyone's spurring each other on. Like, it's like, oh, you should do this. It's not like, oh, let me pray about it. Oh, let me just, I'll let you know in a week. It's not like that. It's we're all just obey. And then what makes the trip really incredible for me, I mean, besides the cause, of course, is we really get to experience God. And not it's the best. I always say it's the best trip, right? Better than vacation, better than anything. It's the best. So just those three things we need to do. We humble ourselves, we listen, and we need to obey. So if we could close our eyes in prayer. Pastor Eugene shared a really, I thought he shared a really great message on Sunday and kind of pointed out we have this attitude of, if you tell me to go, then I'll go. But the reality is, God has spoken to us. He has said to go. So we need to have a shift in our mind of, if he tells me to stay, then I'll stay. And for many of us in Hong Kong, you've been called to be here in Hong Kong. Many of you have either come here to work or you started out here and you left, and for whatever reason, you actually came back. And I want to point out, it's not by chance. It's not just because there's opportunity. It's really God. God is the reason that you're in Hong Kong. So, today, just right now, if you dare, let's pray for a shift in our hearts, in the way we think. Let's ask God to help us break those compartments. I mean, even this, we can't do it on our own strength. We've been raised, this is how we operate. We operate in compartments, right? So let's ask God to help us to break those compartments, and that we would simply do what we see our Father is doing, because whatever our Father does, we will also do. So if we could have this prayer. Today, as we humble ourselves, God, would you speak to us that we would be able to discern where you are moving and we would just obey. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for that interruption today, that encounter today, and that we would just simply obey when we see that opportunity. let's pray for Pastor Steve Galtney. He's the senior pastor of Community Church, and this was actually his, he shared today's devotion. Let's pray for their church. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for love to flow. Let's pray that each and every one at that church would really just worship God. And let's also pray for his family as well. He has a wife and three kids. Let's also each just pray for ourselves with all the upcoming trips and opportunities, mission trips to join in God's work. Let's pray, you know, God would be the one who would direct us. It would be more than just a interest, right? Not just, oh, I'm interested in this cause, but it would be because we want to do what the God, what do what the Father does, right? So let's pray for God to speak to us in this matter. For our church, and let's pray for our members and family members who are just going through cancer, chemo, and transplant, that God's transcending peace would be on them, and of course healing. Let's also pray for those who are sick, but even more importantly, need salvation. Let's pray that God would use this circumstance and bring people around to reveal himself to these people, whether it be in dreams or anything. Let's pray for their salvation and healing. Thank you.
also pray for those who are just sick. Pray for God's provision for those with looking for jobs, but even then, it would really, even though they're right now presently without job, they're still being used and led by God each and every day. Let's pray that they would really embrace each day, and that God would just release upon them His peace, but also a job. For our Thursday prayer topics, let's pray for first. Let's pray for missions, North Korea, the community. Let's pray for South Korea, and just any future church plants that we might have. And let's also lift up Japan, Pastor Mitsunobu. Pray for our SP ministries, IP, The Well, Cascade, hospitality, which involves welcoming and barista. Let's pray that that they would have a real servant heart, and even as they serve, it would be an act of worship, and even as they gather once a week, it would be really an overflow of what's going in their personal, everyday spiritual life. Pray for Hong Kong Korean Church, Pastor Choi, and also spiritual growth, unity. Let's pray for revival. Heavenly, let's pray for house churches today at Elements and Conduit. Just be a really good time of sharing, a time where they can experience God together, a time where they can really just spur each other on, a time where they can just worship. Father God, you're good and you're personal and relational, God, and you're God that we can have relationship with, God who speaks to us, Lord. And sometimes life just can get so complicated. And I pray that we could just simplify by simply hearing and obeying to do what you are doing this day. That we would just obey. So we ask for your help, God. We ask for a discerning ear today so that when you are moving, Lord, that we would notice. I know you have incredible blessings today for everyone here, incredible opportunity to join you today, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name.